Hello there, this is the Psychology Report, and glad you're joining me again today. Culture. Let's talk about culture. You know, just for a starter, culture is a group of people who share a common space, who share a common value system, who share a common way of life, of decision-making, problem-solving, agreements on what one does or doesn't do, how life should be lived, and kind of a general way of life, a lifestyle, if you will, shared by a group of people. Now, there are cultures that are very healthy. In other words, people agree on the value system, people agree on the decision-making process, people agree on what the goals are of that culture, what the outcome should be, what they're trying to do, what they're trying to accomplish, have respect for each other, care for each other, have compassion for each other. They're healthy cultures. And then there are cultures that are less than happy and less than healthy. Sometimes they're dangerous. We even have a term, sometimes we call it a toxic culture. And that means that people get hurt in that culture. People vie for attention and compete and take advantage of each other and look for the weaknesses of each other and explore possibilities of getting a step ahead of everybody else. It's a competitive, it's a world that is just painful for so many. That's a kind of a dangerous culture and toxic culture. Now, cultures, you know, an example might be a family. A family is a culture. A church. A church is a culture. Your office, where you work, that's a culture. The shop where you work and or where you shop a great deal. The store where you, that's a culture. We have all kinds of cultures. Our neighborhood could be a culture. I mean, there are all kinds of cultures that we enter into in the course of our daily living. We move from one culture, which is healthy, to another culture, which may be very unhealthy. We move into another culture that may be unhealthy, or another culture that may be healthy. We have this kind of pathway of moving from one culture to another and experiencing the level of health or the level of dangerousness or the level of unhealthiness of that particular culture when we're in it. So let's take a look at this just for a few moments and see kind of where we all stand, okay? Think of it this way. If you have a church that you attend, what's the culture of that church? Obviously, you live in a family. What's the culture of that family? You have an office. You have a place of business. There's a culture there. What's the culture of that like? So picture or kind of imagine yourself in a culture. Any culture you want to pick. Any culture you want to choose. And let's take a look at some of the dangerousnesses of these cultures. What's a danger point? Well, okay, let's take number one. A culture that's very selfish. That's a dangerous culture, an unhealthy culture. That means the people in that culture do what is best for themselves. They take advantage of situations for their own good. They think of themselves first before they think of anybody else. They do what they can to get the most for themselves and leave the rest for other people. It's like leaving the pickings for somebody else. But you get the good. You get the first. You get the prize. You get the most desirable aspect of that culture, whether it's food like meals or whether it's clothing or whether it's the way you spend money. You know, a dangerous culture that's selfish, the one who makes the money spends the money, and then down line people have to beg for money and wait for their turn to have money to buy something. That's a selfish culture where one person gets the advantage and everybody else gets less than the advantage. That's a selfish culture. You know, it's like an idea of just kind of sitting back and letting everybody else take second seat. But you, as the head of the culture, you the head of the home, you the head of the church, you the head of that company or that office, gets the best. That's selfishness. Very dangerous to be in a culture that's selfish. It's like a relationship. If you're in a relationship with somebody and that other person is selfish, get out of that relationship, because that's not a healthy relationship at all. That's going to do you in. And it's going to be a painful experience over time. Okay, that's number one. Number two is kind of a prideful culture. You know, we have cultures that, you know, experienced a lot of good over the years, a lot of successes, a lot of achievements over the years, churches that flourished and did well over the years, homes and families that did well over the years, businesses that have done well over the years, and we feel a sense of pride in that business or that church or that family or that home. We have that sense of pride because we honor the people who made it a success and achieved and made it what it has become. But you know, if we sit on our laurels, we're going to lose it. Because old ideas sometimes pass, and we have to reestablish a new culture that has its own sense of pride, its own sense of success, and its own sense of achievement, you see. So we have to kind of be careful that we don't just have that sense of pride in what we have accomplished in the years past. We have to have a pride of what we're accomplishing year upon year upon year. And it's fresh and it's new and it's exciting and there's new opportunities that come, you know, to you. So be proud of a developing company as well as being proud of one that has had a past history of development and achievement. Okay, number three, a culture can be very rigid. You know, there are certain ways of doing it, and that's the only way of doing it. This is the way we've done it, and this is the way we're always going to do it. We do it Dad's way. We do it Mom's way. We do it my way or the highway. That's being a rigid culture. No opportunity for change. No opportunity for coordination or cooperation or trying to blend together ways of life or ways of thinking or ways of living or preferences, if you will. A rigid culture does not do change very well. A rigid culture stays the way it has always been. And it usually follows a dictatorial pattern of who's in charge of that culture, who's the head of that house, who's the head of that church, who's the head of that company, and follows that person's wishes and desires and dictates, you see. So a rigid culture is not a healthy culture at all. Next, what about a clique? A cliquish culture, if you will. You know, we get into places where there's groups of people, a large culture maybe, like a large church. Then there are cliques within that, and you can't break into it. There are people who've known each other over the years, and they have formed a small group within that culture. Even the company, if you go to work for a company where everybody in the office has been there 25 years, of course they have all the clique aspects of that culture. They have the stories, they have the history. They have the jokes. They have the ways of doing things. And everybody knows each other's ways. Everybody knows each other's idiosyncrasies. And you come in there new, and you can't break into that culture. You can't break into those cliques. So you feel like you're on the outside. You feel like you're unacceptable. You feel like you're never going to be accepted and become part of that culture. See, a culture that's cliquish keeps people away. It makes small groups within large groups. And one group is different from another group. And one culture may have 4 or 5 or 10 different small groups or cliques. But they don't integrate. They don't come together. So be careful when you go into a culture. Look to see where the cliques are and who's involved in the cliques. And you're going to have to decide you're either going to break into those cliques or you're going to have to somehow live independent of them. Maybe create your own, if you will. What about bullying within a culture? Bully behavior. That means the big guy rules. That means the strong guy rules. That means the loud guy rules. That means the one that's been there the longest rules. That means the one that's closest to the boss rules. That's one that has the most money rules. The one that has the most financial power rules. That's what bully behavior is. And it's that person who then forces their way upon others, requires others to kowtow, requires others to just go and do what they do and what they say and how they want the culture to be organized. You know, we're encouraged in these kind of bullying behavior cultures to submit to the big guy, submit to the powerful one. So the little guy has no power, the little guy has no opportunity, the little guy has no voice, if you will, in a bully culture. The one that has the voice is the bully. He rules, he runs the place, he decides what the rules are, he decides what the goals are, he decides when who wins and who loses, and when we have opportunity for something new and different. And then, what about a stingy culture? You know, a stingy culture is also one that operates on a basis of give and take. They take more than they give. A stingy culture is one who doesn't give very much. When there's a reason to have an offering going around, don't give very much. There's a reason to chip in and make a contribution for some cause, they don't give very much. They give very little. Stingy is you keep things to yourself. You keep things for yourself. And you don't work for the better good of all. You don't work for the better good of the entire organization, the future of the organization. You work for what is good for you now. And you walk by what is important now, what's expedient now, what's going to be in your best interest now, and hold back everything, but give very little. Maybe other people can give, maybe other people can volunteer, but not you. See, a stingy culture doesn't give. A stingy person does not give. A stingy person holds everything to themselves, and other people then have to make up the difference. They have to give extra. Well, okay, now, lastly, what about a deprived culture, a depraved culture, if you will? A culture that is empowered to just be for the good of a few, not for the good of all. But it's a culture that is cracking, the culture that is dying. It's a culture that is fading away, a culture that is weakening, a culture that is dying, basically, and having no life for the future and the people that come into it. The core of that culture, the core of the church, the core of that company, the core of that family, the core of that marriage, if you will, the core of that schoolroom or the culture, wherever you want to identify it, the culture that is beginning to decay and decaying gradually over time so that there is weakness that will eventually become the hallmark. There is death that is eventually going to become the known characteristic of that particular culture. In other words, it's on a course of failure. It's a course of death, if you will. That's what a depraved culture is all about. It's been going for so long, but it has not allowed new life, new breath, young people to come in, new opportunities, and new values and new ways of doing things and new patterns of life and new patterns of living. It's rejected all those things that are new and has stayed with the old, but it's dying and dying gradually and dying fully. So there are cultures. You're involved in cultures. What's the culture like that you're involved in? What's your church culture like? What's your office culture like? What's your home culture like? What's your marriage culture like? Your family culture like? What's your neighborhood culture like? You see? Take any culture that you're a part of, and most of us are parts of maybe all 5 or 6, 7 different cultures at any given time. We belong to a church, we belong to an office, we have a family, we have a home, we have friends, we have clubs, we have organizations that we belong to. You know, those are all cultures, and we all have about 5, maybe 7 or 8 different cultures that we interact with and we are members of and we become part of. Now, one culture that you're in may be dying, may be depraved. One culture you're in that you're in may be very stingy. One culture you're in that you're in may be very hostile, if you will, toxic. Who knows? You might have even a healthy culture in there somewhere. But assess the cultures you're in. You know, and maybe you need to make a decision. Maybe you need to withdraw and resign from one or two of those cultures that you're in because they're making you stressed. They're making you angry. They're making you defeated. They're making you depressed. They're making you discouraged. Maybe you need to resign and find another culture that's much livelier and happier. You know, I tell people that who go to AA meetings. That's a culture, if you will, AA meetings. Some of them are very pleasant and very optimistic and very helpful and very happy and very optimistic and positive. Other AA meetings are very discouraging, depressing, hostile, angry. You know, get out of that one that's negative and get into one that's more positive and helpful to you. Wherever you spend time in a culture, you want to be uplifted. You don't want to be put down. You don't want to be discouraged. You don't want to be made into a sad face. So analyze the cultures you're in. Look at them from the point of view of, are they negative? Are they self-defeating? Are they hurtful to you? And either get out of those or change over into a culture, an organization that is much happier and much more healthy and positive for you and for your family. Do what's right for you. Don't do what is hurtful. Hey, nice to have you with me. This is Dr. Alan Hedberg, and this has been the Psychology Report. See, we have a new sponsor, Susan Hatch. Susan Hatch is a sales lady, if you want to use that word. She's a representative for Medicare insurance programs that feature the elderly and the disabled and the poor that are on Medicare. And go to her website. Just look up SusanHatch.com. Hatch, H-A-T-C-H, SusanHatch.com. Just look up her website. And if you're in that age bracket and you are being insured by Medicare, not Medi-Cal, but Medicare, you may want to consult her and get a better program than the one that you're in. Or if you're going to go into the Medicare program now for the first time, you better consult her to find out which program is the right one for you or the best one for you. You see, Medicare has a number of different programs. They're like little cultures. You got to find the one that's best for you. So go to SusanHatch.com. You'll be glad you did, and it's good to have her as one of our sponsors now. And bye for now. This has been the Psychology Report.